Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why my Lowe's Rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid in-store only, 5/8 through 5/14. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Bob Zimmerman. He keeps the website Behind the Black, Space Engineering and Space Exploration. We begin with engineering because there is joy in commercial space, monetizing space perspectives. That's the name of a new company that's an old company that's a new company to provide for people who pay for it and take the risk a view of Earth from a very high altitude balloon. How high? Well, I'll ask Bob. Bob, very good evening to you. Space perspectives. Once it was a very good idea, then it went away, and now it's back. What's happened?
Okay, well, just to review, this was the founder of Space Perspectives was once the founder of a company called Worldview based in Tucson, and their goal with Worldview initially was to do high altitude balloon tourist flights. A lot of things happened. She left that company. That company is now focused on unmanned surveillance and reconnaissance type stratospheric balloons, which is a business that's existed for many, many decades. But she, the woman, Jane Poynter, reestablished a new company based in Florida called Space Perspectives, which is also a stratospheric balloon company, high altitude balloon company. And they, we talked about this. They recently did their first test flight unmanned of their Neptune, craft. This would be a manned vehicle that would hang from the balloon and go up to somewhere than 20 plus miles into the atmosphere, above the atmosphere, above 99% of the atmosphere, to an elevation that you could see the curve of the Earth. It's below the official definition of space by a considerable amount, depending on the definition. That's either 50 or 67 miles, so 20 miles puts you below it, but it puts you pretty high up. I think pretty much good enough to get a sense of space. What's interesting is that unlike the suborbital flights that would get you up into space more or less, those only last about 10 minutes at most. You do the Neptune Space Perspectives flight. The whole flight is 6 hours, and you will be up in your very luxurious cabin with a bar and a bathroom and nice seats to sit in for 2 hours in space. The whole flight 6 hours, but 2 hours up at that high altitude. Very luxurious, 360-degree views all around. They did a test flight of this successfully about a week ago. Well, they now announced that they're beginning to sell tickets for those high-altitude flights. You can buy a flight ticket for $125,000 each. You need to send them a deposit of $1,000. I've got a link on Behind the Black. They hope to start their first flight with passengers in late 2024. They are on schedule. When they first announced this company about a year ago, they said they would start doing test flights in mid-21, and that's exactly what they've done. And so they look like they're on schedule to do those 24 flights.
Ever since I saw the movie Around the World in 80 Days, I wanted to fly in a balloon. Not really, but I have. And the magic of it, Bob, is the idea that you swing back and forth above the clouds. That's magical. Now, that's the experience you get in a jet, but this is much higher. Would we see the dark of space, Bob, at this altitude?
You'd be, since you're above 99% of the atmosphere, space would look like it does to an astronaut, pretty much. To my mind, this is a much better deal than the suborbital flights. It's going to be a much more pleasant experience. It gives you a lot of experience in space. You need no training to do it. You can just, be up there for a long time and enjoy the view, and then you come back down, and it's a lot cheaper.
Does it make you an astronaut? I mean, is there something?
No, it doesn't. You're not in space. Right. You have to be understood. You're not in space. You would not experience weightlessness.
All right.
But, it's a pretty good deal. I think it's pretty nice.
We go to Mars. We're headed to Mars, a Chinese style. Now, this is the China Academy of Launch Vehicle Technology, outlining the space transportation system of human Mars exploration. What are we learning, Bob? Have they borrowed the right plans?
Well, no. Actually, I would say the Chinese have not borrowed anyone's plans here. This is kind of similar to their long-term overall plan for space exploration, which I've talked about. It's quite rational and thought out and detailed and planned. And they started out putting that together about a decade ago, and they've basically been following it. The building of their space station now is right along lines of that. And so this is what the head of that, basically their prime launch company, the one that plans all their rockets, essentially, the head of that gave a presentation at a conference. And in that conference, he outlined their plan for the exploration and settlement on Mars. It's going to include a sample return mission. Then it'll be exploration for a Mars base site. Then there'll be a Mars mission, and then the building of a Mars base. Now, of course, this is all very far into the future. The timetable runs from 2033 to 2043. So it's far in the future, but I once again want to point out that they planned their space station project about a decade in advance. And so this is about a little over a decade in advance they're beginning to start this program. And I would not underestimate it, not by any means.
I'm not underestimating. I'm just noting, Bob, that they have made the same announcements about their lunar colony working with the Russians. However, we have yet to see, what do you call it, Bob? Bending metal? We've yet to see.
I want to be careful. We don't want to confuse the Russians with the Chinese here. The Russians make promises all the time and don't accomplish anything. They don't, as I say, bend metal and start actually building things. But the Chinese have not followed that pattern. They have pretty much followed the pattern of when they say they're going to do it, they do it. And their lunar exploration has followed that schedule pretty precisely. I would be expecting this to happen.
Right.
I would expect Chinese to follow through here.
All right. You're the leader here. I'm borrowing other doubts. So we go now to the ULA. ULA, what is ULA, Bob?
ULA is called the United Launch Alliance. It's a rocket company in the United States. It's an American rocket company. It was formed from the merger of the rocket divisions of Lockheed Martin and Boeing. And for the last two decades or so, it has been launching the Delta rockets and the Atlas V rockets from those two companies. But basically, it's not those companies. It is an independent rocket company. And they are developing a new rocket called the Vulcan, which they are going to incrementally introduce. Upgrade. It's essentially a significant upgrade from the Atlas V rocket. It's designed to, in the long run, compete with SpaceX's Falcon 9. They say that at some point they will be recapturing the engines from the first stage and reusing them. Well, this incremental development included using the nozzles for the upper stage on Atlas V launches that have been ongoing. And this is an extended nozzle designed to maximize the efficiency of that upper stage as it moves into the upper regions of the atmosphere and even into the vacuum of space. You change the size. The nozzle shape the efficiency of a nozzle shape changes depending on the density of the atmosphere. And so most rocket engines have a different nozzle design for launch from the surface, and the upper stages have a different design. And this was designed to maximize efficiency. Well, they tried it on a recent launch last May, and they had vibrations that were unexpected, totally unexpected. If you go to Behind the Black and click on the link, I've embedded video from the live stream of that launch, and you can see the vibrations. Now, it did not affect the launch. They were able to get the rocket, the payload, up into orbit, but they looked at it and said, we got to figure out what this is before we'll go forward. And so they've delayed launches of any Atlas V that uses this upgraded nozzle. And they are now looking at it, and they have not yet decided what the corrective action will be. What it's meant is that the launch of Boeing's Starliner capsule at the end of July, that has not been delayed because it wouldn't be using this extended nozzle. But of other launches for the military, the Space Force, and other commercial customers have been pushed back. There is a question, so that's the situation, and I don't know where it'll go from here. I give ULA one credit. They are developing this Vulcan rocket during operations. They're trying to upgrade and introduce it step by step, and therefore they can make money with each launch while they bring it into operation. This is very similar to SpaceX, and it's smart. It's very smart.
Quickly, Bob, radiation in space. I've long assumed that we have to solve this and that a trip to Mars is beyond our reach. There's a new study. Does that support that that generality, or have they found new details?
It's in the right range, your memory. In this new study that just came out, I've posted it behind the black, details from it, is actually a revision of the standards, health standards that NASA will use to approve any long-term mission in space. What they've done is they have kind of changed the standard. They're proposing to change the standard to make it closer to what other nations and space agency use, make it match closer to what the Russians, the Canadians, and the European Space Agency use for the amount of dosage that they will allow an astronaut to experience during a long-term flight. And they're raising the standard so that they can make it more likely that women can go, because based on the old standard in the United States, pretty much no women could qualify because they are more vulnerable to radiation, it appears, from the research. And so no woman could pretty much do a long-term mission. And so they've raised the standard. Does this make anything better? Well, no. Any mission to Mars by anyone, including the Russians, the Canadians, and the Europeans, is going to violate standards. We have to find ways to protect the astronauts somewhat on flight. At the same time, this is exploration. It might be that we need to, the people who go might need to be willing to take the risk. It also, this is a government regulation. It doesn't necessarily impact private citizens who wish to fly to Mars outside these health limits.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
Here at Ritual, we know that a mother's support isn't limited to one day a year, and we believe that yours shouldn't be either. So this Mother's Day, we're honoring the world's biggest supporters with science-backed daily rituals that center you not just today, but every day. Whether you're thinking about motherhood, actively trying, or already there, we've got you covered for when it matters most. From fertility support and natal choline to our best-selling clinically-backed prenatal multivitamin, know that you're getting clean, traceable key ingredients in bioavailable forms. Because let's be honest, you don't have time for guesswork. Find your ritual. Go to ritual.com/podcast and for a limited time, get 40% off your first month. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Based on net sales from industry data, including Nielsen IQ, Stackline, and Numerator as of Q4 2024 and top 5 products.